Our colleague Mike Schuster has been traveling in Central Asia from Iran to Turkmenistan and now to Uzbekistan. Today, Mike called in from Tashkent, but he told us the famous cities of the ancient trade routes have fallen on hard times. The silken Samarkand that poet John Keats wrote about is much changed, and Tashkent, though independent now, looks like a weary outpost of the old Soviet Union.
When you travel and look around, you see things and you see the dilapidated buildings and the way the Soviets built things and the way things are falling apart. It reminds me very much of my days in Moscow and my days in Russia. However, I did visit Samarkand. Samarkand was an ancient capital of Islam in Central Asia, and there are some absolutely stunning buildings and examples of Islamic architecture from centuries ago. And it is there that the Uzbek leadership is trying to resurrect the kind of roots of what they see as their modern-day state in the form of the leader Timur, Amir Timur, who we know in the West as Tamerlane, who we only know mostly as a conqueror, but the Uzbeks are resurrecting his history as a kind of state builder 5 centuries ago in Central Asia. And that, I think, is very interesting.
Obviously, they're trying to build or rebuild a state now with their independence from the Soviet Union. Are there any signs that they are really breaking free of Russian influence?
Well, Russian influence still is paramount, but this year I think have emerged the first real signs that they're looking elsewhere. The Uzbek leadership has decided earlier this year to make a move toward establishing much better relations with the United States. They seem to have decided that if there's going to be foreign investment in Uzbekistan, that it ought to come from the United States. And earlier this year, they turned over a great deal of information from all the Soviet secret geological surveys of all the gold mines and mineral mines and gas and oil deposits in Uzbekistan to the U.S. government to share with American companies. And since that time, there's been a lot of interest on the part of American companies in investing and exploiting these riches of Uzbekistan. And I think probably that's the strongest indication that the Uzbekistan leadership is turning outward.
There really are riches there?
There are riches. This is Uzbekistan holds some of the richest reserves of gold in the world. It's probably self-sufficient in oil. It does have a lot of gas, and there are lots of other minerals. So there's a lot of investment to be made and probably a lot of money to be made on the part of American companies if they choose to do so. In exchange, what the United States government has done is bring much more pressure to bear on the Uzbek government to change its human rights policy, which until now has been fairly draconian. And that's a big question, whether there'll be more political freedom in this country in the future.
Well, what is the feeling you get from the people on the street? Do they have any sense that Uzbekistan is on its way to change, to becoming a different place?
I think they do. Local people are, as everywhere in the former Soviet Union, proud that they are an independent country and that they're part of an independent country. At the same time, Uzbekistan is going through the same pain of transition to a market economy elsewhere in the Soviet Union, and people have a great deal of trouble making ends meet, a great deal of trouble making enough money, and I think they're confused about that. And here, because the system has been so repressive these last 5 years, people are afraid to talk and won't talk openly about their political leadership and where they see the country going. So I think it's a mixed response from people when you talk to them on the street, and it's likely to remain so for quite some time to come.
Where do you go from here, Mike?
Well, we're leaving tonight for Tajikistan. This entails a nighttime ride across the mountains into Tajikistan, which is the state of Central Asia that has experienced the worst fighting and internal unrest of probably all the 15 republics of the former Soviet Union.
Thanks very much. We'll wait to hear from you from there.
Thank you, Linda.
NPR's Mike Schuster, who is traveling the Silk Road.